now.
11 hour and I.
Now the lights dim low, soon we'll start the show.
Here comes LF Network.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes can see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind can think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm
Well, welcome to another throw-packed edition of the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood, and you're imbibing via live or possibly time-shifted podcast or vodcast or whatever they call them these days. I think I got the camera dialed in a little more. And I think I have the audio dialed in a little bit more. And I switched back to the condenser, to the Chinese condenser mics. The problem with these Chinese condenser mics is you do a show and then 15 minutes later you want to do another show. So I think, you know, maybe we're settling in from tweakiness from here. You know, it's a little here, a little there as we move along. Again, we had traumatic upgrades, I guess. Really no other way to put it. It's been a strange week. It's been beginnings and endings and stuck in the middle. Things of that nature. I am in touch with the outside world a bit more than I formerly had been. And everybody, except my producer, thinks that this is just a great idea. But so I am, you know, I have other personages and inputs into my life. You know, I'm able to have conversations with other people. And, you know, so you really don't have an idea of yourself. You know, you live the way you live and you live with the people you live. And, you know, even the idea of counseling and, you know, going to see my shrink, which are not the same thing as you longtime listeners, watchers will know. They're only getting like a snapshot, you know. When you deal with people on a daily basis, I presume that to be more of an indicator of what the deal is, you know, unless of course they're mentally ill. In which case, you know, not so much, as they say. So I'm on like a journey of self-discovery, I suppose. You know, you got to remember, I'm recovering from reading Harvey one too many times, and just trying to get a little focused on things, you know? So I guess I'll start with, like, the good news. The roof has been replaced. There's a whole new roof on the top of the house, I guess. They still have to do the sideboard, and I think the whatchamacallit needs to be. There's a little downpipe that's not connected that needs to be connected, so it's good. They did that in 2 days. I think it was Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't even remember what it was. It was one of those days. And, you know, it was pretty loud around here for a little while. Cat was entirely traumatized. Only 21 pounds of joy. He was utterly and totally traumatized. I think he's gotten over it. He's running out in front and trying to eat grass again, so... I may, when the dumpster gets removed, I may clean up the backyard a little bit more before fall. Maybe let the cats out a little bit supervised. I like to do that. I like to let them out and, you know, romp. But I don't like to have tall weeds or, you know, tall anything back there. I just kind of like to knock it all down so I can, one, see where they are, and two, know there aren't going to be any little hitchhikers. 1 year, Spatsy, it was a really bad year, you know, because they kind of project these things, and they say, oh, it's going to be a really bad year for, like, fleas and stuff, you know, or mosquitoes, you know, because it's all about the standing water, I suppose. And so 1 year flat, Spatsy, what was it? He ate a flea. He must have eaten a live flea, and then he got worms, and he was really upset about that. I mean, he was really upset. So I dewormed him. I got some stuff to deworm him, and then he was all happy again. But, you know, he's never been quite the same since then, now that I think about it. You know, he was vocal in a certain way when he was sick, and then he got unsick. You know, we're sure, we check his poopy. And, you know, I check him all the time now. I check to see if there's anything odd hanging out on my cat's butt. I know this is, you know, cat ownership. This is part of the process. You know, if you have, obviously you know this if you have cats, because you never really know, because they're always eating stuff. You know, Spats, he'll eat anything. I mean, he'll literally eat anything. And the problem is we got a lot of stuff, just like dust bunnies and whatnot around here. I should do interior shots of this house one of these days just to kind of put them up, just so you get an idea of what I'm doing with it. And a certain amount of it is like, oh, well, why don't you do something about that? And even when feeling entirely motivated, which is not very often, you know, due to my own depression, and obviously the producer suffers from some level of depression as well, too, and the producer's got, you know, the issue with the heart valve, so there's, you know, physical limitations there, and I have physical limitations because of my back, but all that aside, you know, you just don't, it's demoralizing. Some things are just, like, so absolutely demoralizing that you're like, oh, and then you start to lose ground, you know, where you're not doing what you were doing before, and it's like, oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to stay motivated to one degree or another. I think getting the roof is really going to help. The interior ceilings will be done in the bedroom and what was formerly Studio A, which I hope to become Studio B. I'd be very pleased if I could get that to happen so that I could have a studio and go on whenever I kind of felt like it, or at least record stuff. I might be more inclined to just to record stuff, not grand productions, you know, all singing, all dancing, but just little stuff. And pop it up to the website. I've toyed with going back to YouTube a little bit, maybe just a tiny bit, obviously not for whole shows, because I do want to be able to play commercial music. Vaughn's been ruled out, although you never know, I might start playing around with Vaughn for music only. You know, I've never been a DJ. You know, I guess it's on my bucket list. You know, I guess I started out as a DJ. I mean, what are you going to do? You got a microphone and some turntables and a transmitter and comes like jingles. What are you going to do, you know? But anybody who goes back to 1988, and I know there is some of you out there, a few of you, you'll know my my disc jockey skill set is not very good, not very good at all, you know. And then, you know, you're hanging out with real disc jockeys, you know, and they start to get like some sort of like complex or something there, you know. And then there's like, you know, people are telling me, oh, well, people are gifted in their own way. And it's like, you know what? You sound like you voted for Clinton. Shut the fuck up, you know? That's like... so, yeah. You know, that is a part of, to a degree, that is a part of starting to, like, you know, talk to people, at least on the internet. God forbid, I should, like, people in person, I don't think so. You know? Yeah, I'm dealing with people who are of different political persuasions, I guess would be the term, but I don't feel, it's not really that big of a deal from the standpoint of the thing that's kind of, if you're in a certain place at a certain time for a certain thing, and it really doesn't have anything to do with politics, it really doesn't get in the way, and you'd be surprised even, maybe you wouldn't, I don't know, you'd be surprised even in, like, personal conversation, meaning just conversation outside of whatever, where I find it's not that difficult to have a conversation that is of reasonable interest that doesn't have to do with politics, or at least recent politics, which is, you know, really good. I've kind of been trying to pull my head out of the hole on that. You know, I have a decent idea of what's going on. I just don't have any strong desire to talk about it yet. I think I'm still just kind of feeling things out. You know, the proverbial cracking the knuckles and whatnot. Ooh, I just changed the lighting very bad. So yeah, I don't. Well, you know, we'll get back in the ship shape somewhere down the line. I'll wind up, you know, I'll just, something will wind up happening, and I'll wind up doing something. And I think once I start down that path, I generally tend to work it in a lot more. Obviously, I'm just like you know. I mean, I was literally not for nothing. Food shopping today, and we had meatballs. We came home and made meatballs, and the producer made meatballs, and you know, they weren't bad. They were pretty good meatballs. You know, we had fresh parsley we bought instead of the dried shit, you know. I insisted on that. And they were okay. They were good. You know, they don't have, there's a little thing in here that people who aren't from New York don't, it's a thing. I don't know. It's like a meatball gland or something that when you make them, it's like this, you know, and there's something that's transferred from your body. So, but they were good. I'm looking forward to having those again. I have to say that. No, they were good. See, I just said I'm going to get in trouble anyway because I already said it. Because she's like, I didn't have the meatball gun. You're telling people that I don't have the meatball gun. And I'm like, you know, I don't think you have the meatball gun. I don't know what it is, you know. And it's real interesting because when we went to go get the ground beef, we went to BJ's. I've gotten more comfortable saying that. I'm so comfortable with my sexuality now that I can say Berkeley and Johnson's BJ's and not go, like, you know, what was that? Not Wayne's World, though. Although I guess Garth would. But what's his? Beavis and Butthead, whose creators, I think, were, or his creator was a resident of Garland, Texas. I think King of the Hill was based roughly on Garland, Texas, which is where I lived for 4.5 years. And then I got paroled. Diet Dr. Pepper. I forget how I'm going on. So we went to Berkeley and Johnson's. We were food shopping today. And so I wanted to get, like, ground beef, you know. And I like to usually know what's going on, you know. For burgers, and I think everybody knows who listens to me for burgers, I like 80, you know. I'm willing to go to 85. You know? And we went in there, and the only ground stuff that they had in tubes that was, you know, they had a tube. I don't know. We bought a tube of that 73 once. I forget how, like, well, we did it, like, a couple of months ago, you know, and it shrunk down to, like, two burgers. It was just, it was ridiculous. So I ain't going to do that again. I mean, too much fat's ridiculous. But I wanted 80. You know, we did 80 on Labor Day for the burgers, and they were right. Okay. So I wanted 80, but we went in there, and they had pre-made patties at 85. And I'm like, anytime a butcher touches something, the price goes up. You know what I mean? The little patty thing goes to the little union, the little meat hackers union or whatever the fuck it is, you know? Price goes up. Boop. So I'm like, because I would just get patties and then, you know, unpatty them, I guess, you know. But they had some ground beef, right? And all it said was, it really irked me at the time, you know. It said, finely ground, fine grind, something or another along those lines. And it was like, you know, it had gone through, and I have a meat grinder, I have two meat grinders, you know. So I could do that, you know. And it kind of came out from what I saw, because I didn't make the meatballs. You can't really bitch too much when you're not making the friggin' meatballs, right? It looked like the texture of sausage when I make sausage, so it had to be like the fine dye on a meat grinder. Throw. But there was no, this is the point, this is why I'm yammering about this. There wasn't any fat ratio. There was no, like, 80 or 85. It didn't look super lean, you know. And the report back is it didn't shrink much. So it might have been 85, somewhere between 85 or most likely 85. But it was disconcerting because I didn't know. Even at the register, I'm like, I don't know. So I guess I could have, like, asked the butcher or something, but I really wasn't that interested. I sometimes, isn't it funny, sometimes we just enjoy being irked by something. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know. It's like a mystery, you know. And it's like, well, it wouldn't be a mystery if you asked the proper person who's, like, probably less than 20 feet away from you. But, you know, it gives you something to grumble about. I think that's a sign of getting old or older, however you want to look at it. You got to have something to grumble about, you know. And I don't have any male grumble figures in my life, really, you know. My uncle a little bit, but he doesn't grumble too much. He grumbles about certain things, you know. But that's like, you know, guys grow up with, like, grumble figures in their life, like their dad or their granddad. I don't really have that, you know. I got a couple of people in the chat room. but I don't actually have any, like, you know, grumble figures. So, new roof. Awesome. Really, really pleased about that, you know, before the winter again. And there was they tarped the damn thing. Like, they did it one day, and they were, it was, like, raining. I don't even know, whatever, because I heard it. And then the next, they tarped it. They put a tarp over it. From what I didn't even go out until it was done, right? So, a tarp over it. And it rained that night, and it rained pretty hard. I think it was, like, I don't even know what night it was. It's all starting to blend a little bit, you know? So I'm like, oh. And so there's a little bit more. You can see a little bit more. I wouldn't call it water damage, but you can see, like, a tiny little bit more seepage in the bedroom from where the roof was exposed. And, you know, so I'm like, oh, man. So when they come in to do the repair on the bedroom, I'm wondering what the deal's going to be with that. I guess we'll just have to make the case that it wasn't like that before. Now it's like that, you know, because it was just that corner. And now it's... So it kind of turned into a thing, let's just say. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen without... You know, very few things can, you know, happen without turning into a thing. And again, long-time listeners know what I mean when I say a thing. You know, there's things, and then there's a thing. So I think it's going to turn into a thing because it's different. I think it's a different crew. I think it's not going to be the same guys who did the roof. I think the interior stuff was subcontracted to someone else by that contractor, which is always fun, you know. So, I don't know. I think they're supposed to come back on Monday or Tuesday. I don't think it's supposed to be raining, but it wouldn't matter because it's interior work at this point. So that's good news. You know, I'm pleased. Believe me, I'm not taking it for granted. You know, it's like, oh, you know, new roof is like getting underwear for Christmas. No. New roof is like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, yes. Okay. So, and now the car, you know, I think I explained the whole thing on Labor Day with the car and the fluids. The car's been great. We went out to Coventry. It's nice to be able to go out and not really be concerned about the car doing anything really stupid, you know, or slowing because of whatever that computer cutoff switch about what the heat is. That's awesome. That's awesome. I did freak out. We were in the parking lot, and I went back. You know, these warehouse places, they don't give you bags, so you got to kind of strategically, you know, get stuff into the car. And we use reusable shopping bags, mostly. So I always tell her, just get in the car and sit down, because you're only in my way. And I start working in the back to put stuff from the you know, the shopping cart into the back of the vehicle, which is always full of crap, because very much like my house, she hoards in there, too, something. But I got up to the back of the car, and there looked like there was some leakage. It was like a pretty decent stream of something. And it was coming out from like dead center from the middle of the back of the car. So I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, just like that. I mean, literally, it's just takes it right out of you, you know? And I'm like, okay, so I start working on it because I figure I got to put the groceries in the car anyway. And I'm hoping we didn't crack something or another or this, that, the other thing or, you know, fluids. The car's going to start overheating again. So I walk around the side of the car to put something in the side, and I can see that stream actually continues and goes and then turns sideways and goes underneath the car next to us, right? So I'm looking at the producer, and I'm like, you couldn't have told, because you knew, you couldn't have told me that thing went, that it wasn't coming from our car without me having to climb under there, which I was about to do. I was not leaving that lot without figuring out what was going on there, because it was, you know, especially having gone through this whole lack of fluids situation, lack of a better word than stupidity. So that was good news. I was like, yes. Yeah. So I got home, and she stayed in the kitchen, and I went upstairs, and I started working on stuff. And you know what I did is I actually started to stream up earlier, and I put some Beatles on. I ran Beatles. I know Beatles better than anything else. And I ran it, and I started tweaking with stuff, and then I went into the bedroom from the studio into the other room. To listen, and I kind of played with it, and I kind of played with it, and a little bit here, and a little bit there, and I think I got pretty close to what I had before, which is mostly all natural. There's not a lot of, if any, really, maybe a tiny little bit of clipping going on, you know, a clipper, a tiny bit, and I'm not even sure if I'm using that as effectively as I would like to, but, and then I started, like, working, you know, thinking about what I wanted to do for the show, something, you know. So I started dicking around with music, and I found that version of Wayward Son, which I believe, I don't like the back announce, but I believe was Anthrax, if anybody was interested. Pretty decent version, you know. And so it's like, you know, as far as new stuff goes, I'm like, you know, new roof, and I'm trying to adapt some sort of new attitude. See, that's, you know, the thing about actually interacting with people is that you're subject to their minutia, as well, and they're subject to yours, you know, so kind of it's reciprocating, but, I'm just really fun, you know. It's like, I guess I really have not really spent a lot of time around people, and I think I indicated that. I mean, I think I've always kind of indicated that. I'm not, you know, like, I'm not anywhere near, what is that, gregarious? I stopped being gregarious in, like, friggin' 2000, you know. Just, that was it. Done. Blew away. So I'm making some sort of inroads, you know, on that. And I mean, the upside is that it's kind of helped me get settled, you know, and kind of I don't know if I'm ever going to be the person I was before I stopped this last time around. I don't know if I'm going to be the person I was 2.5 months, 3 months ago. I don't know if that's entirely a bad thing or not. I haven't made a decision on that. But I don't think I'm going to be the same. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing, you know. I'm just trying to, like, you know, find some sort of middle, I guess, and get a little bit more comfortable. I think I said to him, because I spoke to him, I says to him, you know, the Brooklyn thing. I said, I think I spoke to him briefly. Yeah, I spoke to him briefly, like, on Thursday. I think it was Thursday, because on Wednesday, I ran into Alan Sane in the Hank and Jim chat room. And we hadn't spoken in quite a bit. I mean, I keep tabs on him on Facebook, because he's very active on Facebook. He and his lovely wife are very active on Facebook. You know, they're foodies. They go out to eat. I think he had he went on vacation. I think he went to Wildwood and Atlantic City, and then kind of alternated between those two 1 week. And then I think he did the same thing like a week or so later, which was actually kind of cool. You know, and I was really, I remember, you know, Alan Sane is the guy who basically started me out in pirate radio. Yeah, first pirate I ever heard, first pirate I ever spoke to, first pirate whose facility I was allowed to enter. So, a lot of firsts there with Alan Sane and his brother Jack Hammer, who's now entirely retired, to my understanding. But I also keep tabs on him and his wife over there on Facebook. We decided that we would talk on the phone, because we hadn't done it in a while. I was down there 2 years ago, and, so we're talking, and, you know, we're catching up, and it's interesting, because it's, you know, two guys who, you know each other pretty well, who just haven't spoken in a while, and coming up to date on stuff, on this, we're talking a little bit about that, and, you know, he said it a couple of times to me, and it's really is kind of like, you know, when you think about it, it's like, I know I reflect upon the old days, you know, it's fair share, you know. I don't think I'm, one of those overly nostalgic people in that regard, because it was a lot of not so good, you know. But everything's good now, and that's what really matters, you know. But, you know, he was like, and we're going to be 50 soon, you know, because he's my age. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know. Because it's like, you know, we were like 17. He was running his own station at 17, you know, so. WMAD. I remember the airline 8534973. What's that? That's the number that the first pirate radio number that I ever called was 8534973. I believe he had subsequently let that number go. So it's if you call that number, you'll get probably a Chinese restaurant, or maybe even just regular plain old Chinese people don't own a restaurant. Yeah? So yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Catching up with him, and I'm going to make sure. I believe he's on Tuesdays. I think it's 7 or 8 o'clock. I'm not 100% sure on WBCQ. And he posted, although I guess I'm following Larry Will, and I are now friends on Facebook. So I guess I don't know where the photos came from, but I think I saw some recent photos of Alan Wiener and what looks to be the new construction and the new some of the new equipment there, and his wife. I believe he's now married again. I don't know how many that is for Alan. I'm not quite 100% sure, but it's a couple of you. Yeah. I'm going to make a point of catching him on Tuesday. Check their schedule. You can't miss him. I believe it's Alan Sane and I believe some Ivan Jeffries involved with that as well, too, who I encounter on a regular basis in the Hank and Jim chat room. I keep saying. So, you know, and I inquired about the family, you know, his parents and whatnot. I mean, they were very good to me when I was a youngster. They were very good to me when I spent a lot of time over there, you know. It's like, just a lot of time, and they were really good to me. I drank a lot of Coca-Cola over there. Just put it that way, 100% sure, a lot of Coca-Cola. So, I mean, and it's nice. I mean, you know, it's, I feel like I'm rock climbing, which I've never actually done, but I've seen enough in movies and television to kind of get an idea how that works. And you know how you get where and the way you get there is, one, you got to be pretty strong to do it, you know, just as far as body strength, you know. And so you're always working on that. And two, you're looking for the next foothold and the next place to put your hand, you know, and that's how you make the progress. And you're not thinking about, you know, getting... You're just taking it one, and that's what I'm doing, and it's, I'm in the middle of becoming something, you know. You could obviously say, oh, well, we're all evolving all the time. Shut the fuck up, I bet you build it fairly. But yeah, you know, in a sense, it's true. It's, you know, like, yeah, you know what, we're evolving all the time. So I'm like in evolve mode, you know, I'm like hanging in the middle, trying to, to figure out what I want to do next. You know, it's obviously made a commitment to come back, and I feel right now I feel it's kind of jobbish, like it's a job, you know, and it really shouldn't feel like a job. So I know that that's eventually going to pass. I think it feels more like a job because I didn't do it for over 2 months. You know, I was on vacation. I was a tourist, you know what I mean? I didn't have to worry about any of this stuff at all, you know, like, no, not my problem, you know what I mean? I mean, I checked John's server, I checked the R&I server, you know, every once in a while, make sure it didn't blow up or nothing, but, I mean, you know, beyond that, I mean, I wasn't really involved. I wasn't even listening to John. I mean, you know, I don't listen to John now still. Shh, quiet. But, so yeah, I'm evolving and I'm figuring out what I want to do. You know, it's not like it's going to be like a core change or anything. I'm just saying there's things that, you know, you go through certain things in life and you don't come out the same on the other side, and it's supposed to be that way. I mean, you know, I think people should have more watershed moments in their life. You know, they don't necessarily have to be traumatic. You know. Unfortunately, I think they are a lot of times, you know, most people don't change unless they are absolutely positively forced to, so, but, you know, there, I think we need to, you know, I'll speak amongst the collectively. I feel qualified to speak for all of humanity. Like if the aliens landed on the lawn or something, I would be going like first guy out there. I would be like, you know, this is how it is. I would do that. I really would. And I think that would be interesting. I think that would be really interesting. I haven't even really messed with the extraterrestrial thing in a long time. Yeah, I'm a big. I love Roswell. I'm a sucker for anything Roswell. I have to eventually read it and there's way too many books out there now, and or see it. You know, I don't know, there's just something about Roswell that's like, oh, and Bigfoot, but mostly revolving around the Patterson film, and those of you who know what the Patterson film is will know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't, I don't know what to tell you, but Patterson film into Google. If you can hear my voice, you're on the internet, so, you know, Google. But yeah, I think it would be pretty cool. I would go out there and represent humanity. I would like break it down for the aliens. It's like, this is how it, and that guy is a total asshole. So it'd be a lot of that. But yeah, I'll speak. I feel, you know, comfortable speaking for middle-aged bipolar, not really doing too much with their lives guys. That's like my demographic right there. And you know what? You'd be surprised how many there are. There's like a union, there's a newsletter. It's, but yeah, I'm looking to keep it all in perspective to one degree or another, you know, and it's interesting dealing with other people's problems. I think that that's one of the biggest things that, like, as of late, in regards to actually, being, you know, more interactive with people in the internet sense, you know, if I have talking to people on the phone or chatting, you know, you wind up getting involved with other people's problems, you know, or issues or whatever. And in their own way, they become your issues because you're dealing with a larger environment and it's like an ecosystem. And anytime you're in an ecosystem, anything you do in one way or another affects that ecosystem. I've been trying to explain that to people for fucking years, but everybody's like, you must have voted for Hillary. Ah, shut the fuck up, man. So, yeah, you know, I've been trying to, the original plan was I was going to focus so much on the projects I had to do around here that I wasn't even going to have time to be doing anything else, but then I became a tourist over at the Hank and Jim's chat room, and, so yeah, I wanted to work on my server, and I still have plans for my server. I'm really honked on my adaptive bitrate deal, where I just want to be able to do that, or I want my server to operate that way, and I want to move over to Linux. I'm pretty sure one way or another, and figure that out. But I've been working a bit with Gymnasium on some stuff that has to do with their infrastructure as well, software wise. And that's a little bit of a commitment because it's a piece of software that I've never used and neither is he, so it's always fun. Kind of, you know, we're both confused at the same time, you know. It's awesome. So there's that, you know. And I think, though, I can't remember, but there was something else in the mix there that I know was a project. I got the Windows 10 thing done. This machine I'm using is now Windows 10, so. And got the new cam, right? And that's, and the lighting is better. I got a little bit more lighting, I think. And I got that that little box, that little remote control box, that'll let me control OBS from over here rather than over here, which it's only a foot, right? Foot and a half, but you'd be surprised when you got all this other stuff going on. That's next. That might be this week. I think I feel reasonably comfortable enough with everything else. I'll do playback on this, and if I like the audio video, I'll probably want to do that box next. And if I can get audio control too, that'd be like slamming. I don't know if I could have both, because sometimes I need to start simultaneously, so whatever. Like I said, I'm not a DJ, so don't worry too much about it. God forbid if I were working beds. Oh my god. Wow, what a train wreck. So I got enough to, like, kind of, you know, stay focused on, and I really haven't gone to the gym because I've been wanting to be around the house while the work is being done, so I figure that's going to be, like, another week, you know, but I've been hovering about between 230 and 235, so I haven't put on any weight without being active, and there have been more than a few times that we've eaten, like, fast food, I mean, other than when the car wasn't working properly. But we've kind of made up for it. You know, speaking of fast food, I got this, like, peeve thing now. You know, I remember, right, when I was in my early 20s, I took a road trip with my friend Ruben. And we were working, you know, on the road. This is a video wall setup stuff, you know. So he always used to like, and it made sense. He, it wasn't a matter of liking, it was a matter of it just made his life easier. You know, if there was going to be any sort of sudden change or anything, this is before I was diagnosed, you know, bipolar. But everybody knew something was wrong. I wasn't like the other kids. He would like to warn me about things so there wouldn't be any jarring type deal, right? So I remember we were going to like, I forget where we were driving to, maybe New Orleans or somewhere. And we wound up going through, like, the Ohio River Valley, you know, get, like, out of Pennsylvania, and, you know, so we're on the highway, and he says, "Are you hungry?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." So he goes, "Okay, I'm going to pull over to a McDonald's, right? But I don't want you to be concerned or scared, okay? don't, they put mustard on burgers outside of New York." And I was like, "What? What manner of sorcery is this?" You know. So, and I like mustard on hot dogs. I'm a hot dog connoisseur, man. I mean, you only made that clear, right? So we went into McDonald's, and sure enough, because I like to just get cheeseburgers most of the time. Believe it or not, I'm very simple. I get basic tacos at Taco Bell. I get basic cheeseburgers wherever I go. Unfortunately, I get like, you know what, 24 tacos, you know, and like 10 cheeseburgers. That's usually my thing. So I was like, and I never got used to it. I was like, I just didn't, and it's yellow mustard, you know? And of the two mustards, I generally prefer brown. But, of course, it depends on what you're doing. But then I cooked with yellow, so you have to have yellow around. You know, you have to have Dijon around. You have to have all variants of mustard around if you cook. Because it's like, you know, you need certain stuff at certain times soon. And then, you know, so I knew if we were outside New York, it was like that, you know, or at least in that, I guess that would be south, southeast. So it's like, yeah, all right, you know what I mean? I think even in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, although I could be wrong about that, I don't remember clearly, but I know there were places that it was normal to have mustard. I think it might be a southern thing. I'm pretty sure it's a southern thing. So, you know, I was like, all right. And then, because they don't do that in New York. I don't know if anybody's listening or watching this. They're like, they don't put mustard on it, no. And it would be alongside of ketchup, but it wouldn't be with mayonnaise, I don't think. I think ketchup and mayonnaise go together. But on, like, some of the, like, the lower echelon burgers, they put Spatsy's outside the door crying. You're crazy if you think you're getting in here, buddy. Yeah, the lower, like when you start to get into like signature burgers, you know, like let's just use McDonald's for instance, right? When you start to get into like Big Macs, yeah, there's no mustard. I believe the Quarter Pounders, they do mustard and ketchup, which is kind of, but I think the Big Mac is like whatever that thousand variant of Thousand Island dressing is or whatever. So I knew the cheeseburgers had them, right? Yeah, and I knew Burger King didn't. Burger King doesn't do the mustard. They don't play the mustard game, which is really kind of cool. But Burger King closes at midnight, right? So this is how things work around here, right? Taco Bell closes at 2 a.m., yes? Wendy's closes at 4, right? McDonald's is open 24 hours, but at like 4, 4:30, they start to move over to breakfast. And we went out for breakfast. We grabbed some breakfast stuff a few days ago from them. And it was, got some of them sausage biscuits. And biscuits are like, they're just dry. Even good biscuits are like dry. They're just dry. Yeah. And so I'm not a big fan of biscuits, you know. And the producer's got those southern roots things going on there. So there's biscuits. I mean, I have biscuits on a semi-regular basis. I mean, you know, and they're good. I mean, but they're dry. They're always, I mean, it's the nature of a biscuit. It's dry. You know, like black people like watermelon. Biscuits are dry. You know? It's just one of those things. So, well, those are my options. And I'm usually in the Hank and Jim chat room most nights until like 4, 4:30, which means everything's closed except McDonald's, right? And I don't know. I'm just like, I'm a glutton for punishment. So I just keep getting these cheeseburgers hoping that one, either there isn't going to be mustard on them, or two, it's just not going to bother me as much. And that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So, and I usually get, like I said, I get 10 cheeseburgers. Maybe I'll eat 6 or 7, and then I'll have, like, a couple for breakfast or something, you know? And it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe he eats that stuff. She's trying to kill him. And it's like, you know what? I don't eat it all. I mean, I don't eat anywhere near as often as I was. But, like, last night, it had to be, like, I don't know. I'm not even sure what time it was. It had to be, like, yeah, you know what? I think it was, like, maybe 2:30 or something. It was, like, 2:30. Okay, because I knew Taco Bell was closed for sure, right? But Wendy's was still open. And I says to the producer, would you go and get some stuff at Wendy's? And she was kind of like, okay. You know, and it's like, you know, I'm like, you understand that I want you to go by yourself, right? And she's like, okay. So, which is pretty cool, you know, I appreciate it. So, for some reason, I'd never gotten Wendy's cheeseburgers before. I always got bigger burgers from them, you know, like the Dave's Triple or a Baconator or whatever, right? And neither of those have mustard on them, you know? So, for some reason, I just presumed that Wendy's cheeseburgers, you know, just the basic cheeseburger, not even bacon, just a basic cheeseburger, you know, the irregular, I thought it was $1. They turned out to be $1.50, so my whole thing was off. But I assumed there wouldn't be mustard on them. I just, for some unknown reason, I just assumed there wouldn't. So she goes, she comes back. I got a vanilla shake. I think they call them Frosties, right? And 10 cheeseburgers. So I'm sitting there in the chat room, and I'm eating these things, right? And the first couple of few, I'm kind of like, you know, I think I'm in denial about it. You know what I mean? I'm not like, And then, like, by the fourth one, I have to, like, look at it. I actually take it apart and look at it. And you gotta remember, in the chat room, I'm on cam. I'm one of the few people who actually goes up on cam on a regular basis, so everybody can see me. I don't know if they notice this, because sometimes I get so engrossed with what I'm doing, I don't even think about the cam, which is, like, really kind of funny. And sure enough, there's, like, mustard on there, man. So I'm like, oh. So I ate 7 of them. And so I ate 7 cheeseburgers, and I put the other 3 aside. I didn't even refrigerate them. I put them in the studio. They were actually sitting right there. And then when I got up before we went shopping, and I got up early, which is like 2 p.m. for me, and I friggin' ate the other 3 cheeseburgers. I took a Prilosec, ate the other 3 cheeseburgers, and washed them down with a Diet Dr. Pepper. So I'm living the high life over here, you know? Absolutely. Parched up. So, yeah, life is good, you know. But it's cool that she would go and get the cheeseburgers by herself. I mean, she went to a drive-thru. It's not like she had to go, like, a marathon or anything to get them. But it's pretty cool, yeah. I appreciated that. And the moral of this story is that I have to get a higher-end signature burger or go to Burger King if I don't want to be dealing with mustard on my friggin' burgers. And it is. It bugs me. It just doesn't... It's that vinegary thing. And I know there's vinegar and ketchup, but it's not the same. So anyway, just, you know, so it's a pet peeve of mine, and I had a nasty discovery last night. I was like, oh, I hate the damn things. But I haven't gained any weight. I haven't tested my sugar much, granted, but I haven't gained any weight. And I think if I can, like, just kind of do what I've been doing food-wise and just kind of, like, relax and not overeat, and then hit the treadmill. And I think I want to work myself up to, like, 2 hours on the treadmill. It's more the long. I don't need to be going fast, but it's the long thing that's really going to help me out, because I used to do long walks. That's how I got down to 200 pounds the last time I did it, which was 10 years ago. Yikes. So yeah, my health is, you know, my physical health is, even my wrist is starting to feel better. I've been keeping it in the thingy there. What did they call that thing? It's not a sling. I can't think of it, but it's whatever the thing is, it goes in, it locks, and you keep it, and oops, hit the microphone. It's been feeling better. And even when jumping in, it wasn't too bad, because I really tried not to, you know, abuse it. And I'm thinking I might get it. If it continues to, like, on the trend that it has been, I probably won't even go back to the orthopedic. I won't make an appointment, because I'm afraid that he's going to want to do surgery. I don't know. It's feeling better now, and I'm not just saying that. So, yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm like treading water. You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm in a good way. And it, like the ducks tread water and they move around. I'm like a duck. I guess I'm like a duck. And then, you know, so there's the new, and there's a lot of in the middle, I think, that I just explained. And the end, you know, because I said the middle and stuck in the middle at you in the end, right? That was pretty much the theme of the program. Yeah. The end is actually kind of odd, a little bit, anyway. We've lived here for, like, I think it'll be 10 years in November, right? And when we arrived here, there was a white couple who lived in one of the houses that my neighbor owns. He owns, this is a black guy. He's pretty cool. Notice I said black guy and not nigger. He's a black guy, right? Older guy, a little bit older than me, somewhat older than me. He was a mason, good profession, and he invested in real estate here. So he owns several different houses here, which is still weird to me, because I'd just rather own one nice house somewhere else. But, you know, you can't figure people out, right? Yeah. His wife was driving a Porsche for a few years, which I thought was hilarious, too, that they would put in the garage. It's the ghetto, man. I mean, it's really ghetto. I'm not exaggerating. It's a ghetto. Got to do some video of that. People are starting to doubt. He says, oh, he's in the ghetto. I don't know if he's really in the ghetto or not. It's like, you know what? I was in the ghetto, man, you know? But so this white couple, man, and he's the guy, I refer to him as McGilla Gorilla. I think, if I think back, it's what I always in my head, and I think I might have articulated that to the producer at times, you know? And he was like a typical white ghetto guy. He was like a wigger, you know, and his big thing was car stereos, you know. So he would be on the street installing car stereos in people's cars, you know. And I guess because they never owned a car of their own, I guess at one point in time my neighbor let him use, because there's a lot that my neighbor uses as a parking lot for his car, for his stuff and his tenants. So on that side of the house, there's the lot. And then there's his house. So there's space on that side. And then behind his house is a couple of houses that he owns. It's kind of weird. They're placed oddly. You can't really think of these in terms of, like, New York Square block type thing. That's why the wind's really weird around here. The way it blows sometimes, too, because of the direction it takes. And even sound travels very strangely because of the way the houses are positioned. Like, you'll have a house, and then you'll have a house there. Like, diagonally between those houses, which is really kind of weird. But he must have at one point, and it was just, I think the one occasion, it might have been more, but there was this one particular occasion where the guy was working on someone's car, right next to the fence that is the borderline between the lot and my house. And, my little family, which is, you know, the producer and, my aunt and myself, are eating, and the table is right here. And this guy, Magilla Gorilla, right, starts testing his fucking car stereo. I mean, right there. I mean, we're literally, like, right there. And you could tell we were right there. It's not even like you didn't see us or nothing. We were right there. You could see, like, basically, you couldn't see through the fence this way, but you could see it this way. He knew we were there. And he starts testing his car stereo. So, obviously, I get, like, a case of the fucking ass, because it's like, you know what? It's bad enough I got to live in a ghetto. I need to be fucking blasted out by this fucking car stereo. So, so we get into it, and, it's verbal, you know? And, the guy was a fucking douchebag. I mean, you know, it's just the same old complaint that I have about this whole place, is that there's just a lack of respect. And if you don't respect yourself, I guess you can't really respect anyone else. That's basically the theme here that I see on a regular basis. I mean, I've got to make this clear. You know, in his wigger way, he's like, you know, I don't even know what the fuck he was saying. You know, it had to do with apparently some sort of being ghetto tough, you know. Now, you know, we're capable of deadly force, would be the best way to put it, right? So there was a level of restraint, you know, and it blew over. I didn't even have to call the cops and whatnot. And then he never let him use it again. He never let him use the lot again, you know. So there was always a level of hostility between me and this guy when we saw each other on the street. And I'm not walking around on the street very often, you know, anymore. So he'd walk by the house and it'd be like, you know, we'd have the look, you know, the fucking look. And I'd, you know, I'd give him the look. So this went on for like years and years and years. You know, it's really interesting because like a day or two after that incident, my neighbor came over to me and he said, you know what, I don't want there to be a problem between you and I. You know, he's my tenant, and I'm like, and he goes, he's not, I believe the words he used were, he's not right in the head. Okay. So, I was like, I don't know how that helps me, but yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying. And we left it at that, right? And this was like years and years and years, you know? And, it turns out, last Saturday, this guy had a heroin overdose in his bathroom and died. I got, you know, through the pipeline news from my neighbor to my aunt to me. And I'm like, you know what? The guy was a fucking douchebag. I mean, there's no doubt that he was a ghetto douchey guy, you know? And now he's dead. And I'm kind of like, I kind of feel like almost like I'm glad that someone I don't like is dead. I'm still working on that Christian thing. I am. I really am. I'm still praying, you know? But, and I know that that's a failing of mine. I get it. And there's the, oh, well, just another junkie that overdosed. But having had heroin touch people that I care about in my life, I don't necessarily feel as strongly about that attitude as I used to. I'm not quite sure. There's this whole, do we treat it criminally or do we treat it as a medical problem? Okay. Or, you know, psychological problem, as far as addiction goes, I mean. So there's that thing going on, you know, and I'm like, I got kind of mixed feelings on it. I think it was actually, I don't dream very often, but I think I had a dream that this guy's dead body was in, like they were rolling him out, and I didn't see it. So it's almost like you hear, and then maybe you, so I'm kind of like, I don't even really know how I feel about that. I guess maybe I'm processing it. It's not as easy as it sounds, but it's just someone you don't like that died. Great. Wonderful. You know, then again, you never know, because whatever comes in next could be, like, the worst thing ever. It's happened a lot in the other house, you know, so careful what you wish for there. But I feel kind of strange. I do feel kind of odd, and that's the end part. That's what got ended. This guy got ended. So I got my new roof. I've been hanging out in the middle, stuck in the middle, and this guy ended. So there's the bookends of the show, for the most part. You know, I wish I had something wiser to say, you know, in regards to this guy. I don't know. You know what I mean? He didn't look like someone who would do heroin, but who the fuck looks like someone that they would do heroin? I mean, I don't know. I've never done heroin, so I don't really know. I'm not really 100% sure. But I want to hit a set that I put together. I'm not going to say I put it together for this guy. I'm not going to say that. But, I mean, I guess maybe to a certain degree, it everything serves its purpose. I don't know. I'd like to think that I could be, like I said, I'm working on that Christian thing. But, yeah, there are people who Jesus is going to be like, douchebag. You know, it's just... I don't know. Just because someone dies, it doesn't make them any more of what they were. If they were a great person, if they were a tremendous person, I'll point to Stelio, you know, that's what they'll be. You know, if they were a douchebag, which would be the total opposite of that, they're still a douchebag. I don't think dying gets you any, you know, any, you know, points in the not being a douchebag thing. That's my own personal feeling on the matter, but, you know, I don't know. Everybody, whoa, you know, the guy died, and you got to, well, I don't even really know, man. So, and it's like with anyone, it's not just this guy. So let me get this set started. What do I got to do here? I don't even remember. It's been such a long time. It's like, okay, I got to do that. It's like flying an airplane. Anyway, I'll hit the set and then I'll be back shortly there afterwards.
I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone, and the sun went down as I crossed the hill. The town lit up, and the world got still.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like a word on a hook, like a knife from an old-fashioned book, I've saved all was never to you. Like a baby stillborn, like a beast with his horn of torn, everyone's reached out for me.
Like my father, too. Oh, baby, you're just like my mother. She's It's LF Midwood, and you're tuned to the Midwood Files.
Rest in peace, Makilla Gorilla. Thank you for reminding me that being stuck in the middle is better than meeting the end. So, oh, I tell you, being stuck is pretty okay, I guess. You know, and I don't feel stuck. There's movement. The ice is moving, as the Russians like to say. Yeah. It's just, the trick is just to get it to kind of move in a little bit more of the directions that I want to. But I feel all right. I mean, I feel better. Maybe that's the best way to put it. I feel better. So, you know, all these things are relative. I know I have an appointment with my shrink on, I think, Wednesday. So there's going to be that, you know, how you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? And I'm going to be like, fuck you. You voted for Hillary Clinton. So, actually, she did. I'm going to have to, like, you know, sit there and... I feel... you know, I'm, like, 6. Okay, it's better. Yeah, I think it was, like, a 7 and change last time I saw her. So, it's a 6. That's good, right? You know, if I could get back down to my normal 5, I'd only... You know, pretty much just despise everyone. Be able to, you know, misanthropic. My normal level of misanthropy. That's what I'm shooting for. That's it. It's as simple as that. Just back to my regular plain old, I hate everyone. No, but it's good to have goals, yeah? Yeah? It's good to have goals. Like I said, I got stuff. I got projects, little mini projects that are kind of preventing me from getting to any sort of big projects. And I consider the server to be like a big project. I have a new URL to roll out, but I'm going to do it now. I have procured a new URL for the archives for the server. And I kept the Stone Bunny. I might use that maybe possibly for the streaming deal that I still want to set up. Yes, I have not forgotten about that. I wanted that for a summer project, you know. But we're moving into like the fall already. Thank God we're moving into the fall. You know, fall and winter are definitely maybe early spring. Definitely my favorites. Summer, I can't. It's just... I can't hack the summer. I honestly can't do it, you know. And I don't even think it's got to do with carrying the extra weight, you know. Although, technically, I'm not carrying that much weight than I should be. But, you know, even when I was in when I was talking to Alan Sane, you know, last time he had seen me, I was like 265. You know what I mean? And he was used to seeing me at, like, 165. So it was, like, literally 100 pounds bigger. It was 100 pounds more of me than there was the last time this dude had seen me a couple of years ago. So even when I'm down the weight, you know, even when I'm down where I should be, I sweated like a pig when I was 165. I just can't deal with the heat. I don't like the heat. Leave me alone. You know, that whole homicide heat thing? Yeah, I get that. 100%, and it's full entirety, I get the homicide heat deal, so... It's like, just adds that much more to everything, to absolutely positively everything. So, yeah. So it's passing. Fall is coming. Yay. Things will be cooler. Sweatshirt weather. Yay. Yep. So, I certainly have a level of sympathy for anybody in the Carolinas dealing with Hurricane Flo. I mean, even though I guess it was downgraded from as bad as it could have been, you get the flooding, and we can relate to the flooding here. Was it 5-6 years ago? We had the 100-year flood for us, which was pretty bad. Luckily, this house is the only thing this house has ever had going for it other than the rent. It's the fact that it's on high ground, so we never really had to deal with any flooding issues, but... we've seen serious flooding issues. My grandmother's old house, the house they owned in Warren, flooded out pretty bad in the basement. And, I mean, you know, there were photos. They shut down I-95. I mean, when you're shutting down I-95 for flooding, I mean, you know, it's pretty bad. So, I mean, they did that in the winter of 78 when they talk about those storms. You know, it's really interesting. There was a flood in, I guess it had to be the 20s. I'm going to look at the date because it was an old book that I was looking at. I don't remember where it was. I think it might have been at one of the friends of my, one of my friends of my uncle. And there's a building downtown. Actually, that I don't know if people know this. You know, when Hank Hayes was here, I was trying to, when I met him over there at the Dunkin' Donuts, if he had been hungry, I would have taken him over to the Haven Brothers, which is like a, I think I mentioned the Haven Brothers before. It's an institution. They've been on the Today Show and everything. It's a little mobile diner type deal that is literally, I think it's like one of the oldest. It was originally horse-drawn little diner car type deal. So it goes out every at sundown, every night in front of City Hall. Right? And you can see, because the City Hall building is pretty old, there's a water line that's like above the first floor that's from like, I think, from like the 30s, I think there was one from the late 30s, and there's an even higher one from the 20s, right? Flooding downtown Providence. And I think the first one was from, they have hurricane gates now that they can close that can help with flooding. That is, if you want to know what a hurricane gate is, look it up. But basically, it just closes and it keeps water from coming in, from, you know, being gushing in. Like a little dam that you can kind of close, maybe would be the best. Oh, I changed my lighting, So we're not unfamiliar with that in Rhode Island, you know, as far as flooding goes. So yeah, you know, my heart goes out to the people of the Carolinas there, and they seem to be a tough lot. I mean, I don't think you can live in areas like that and not, you know, be reasonably hardy, you know, in any sort of coast area. Same thing with Florida, you know, pretty tough SOBs. I was talking to someone about Oklahoma. And the humidity, they said their brother had spent time in Oklahoma, and the humidity being, you know, so like crazy. And, you know, I guess it's that humidity, that's what with the Hurricane Alley there, you know, where you got that humidity, and then you got the cold air coming from the north, you know, because Oklahoma's pretty much to the right of Texas, and Texas is dead center in the middle of the country, really. Besides that southern thing, I don't want to get into that conversation about Texas in the south and whatnot. It was a confederacy, but it's because nobody else would have them. You know what I'm saying? It's a long thing I'll get into someday. And I think I have. You know what? The drugs are like, I don't really remember sometimes, but I think I remember having that Texas conversation about the Texas independence and all that. Either that or I've had it so often with other people that I just presume that I, you know, there's a microphone involved with it. But, yeah, so there's a hardy bunch, you know what I mean, that are kind of used to dealing with weather, inclement weather, I guess would be the best term. So, yeah, and the fires on the West Coast obviously being pretty bad. I think they're used to fires in California like every year, and that the smoke goes all over the West Coast. You know, I know people in Washington who were affected by that smoke, and also fires in British Columbia. I know someone who had a who evacuated as a result of smoke conditions, not so much fire. And luckily, they were able to come home, and their home was still there. There was no fire concern, but there was smoke, big time with the smoke. So, but these things seem to be in cycles. Like again, obviously, weather being secular, people were like kind of used to it, I guess. And you know, it's like I gotta give them credit, you know, not for nothing. They have enough problems in life to come home and find like your house, like you know, down the street, you know, or your car down the street, you know. It's like, oh, okay, great, you know. And it's difficult getting insurance in these places, obviously very high rates because of the high instances. So, you know, my understanding is that the federal aid and the federal communication has been good between the Carolinas and you know, the White House in particular, but also the federal agencies, obviously the federal agencies. So other than the fact that apparently President Trump colluded with the with Hurricane Florence to actually hit the mainland of the United States of America. Wow. I mean, this stuff's out there. You would think that I'm just being like totally facetious, right? You would just say, but no, this stuff is out there. There's actually people who, for some reason, even if they don't believe it themselves, they're out there, you know, saying it. They're saying it. So, you can't make this stuff up, right? Well, maybe you can. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that's like that I wanted to hit this week. You know, I guess I've gotten into the habit of, at least since I've been back, of kind of chronicling my week. And I have more stuff going on. This was like a big week. I mean, you know, shopping, wow, the roof, You know, that's huge to have that going on. I don't really have a whole lot going on in my life. People ask me what I did today, the day, and I'm like, I got up. You know, and I've been waking up later and later. I've been getting up. I think I was averaging around 7, and I think I was in like the 8, possibly close to 9 o'clock range a couple of times this week, and that's in the p.m., you know, but that's after being up to like 8 or 9 a.m., and, you know, I don't know why I'm sleeping 12 hours. I'm not taking the sleep meds. I'm not taking the Ambien or the Clonidine or the Flexoril even for my back, which has been mezamez, as my Jewish friends say. So I haven't been doing that, and I've still been sleeping like 12 hours. I think it's because it takes me so long to get to sleep, you know. And the producer's not like faring not so great. So I mean, you know, it's the same situation where we're just both tired. By the time it's like sleepy time, is like tired, you know. We finish eating whatever cheeseburgers or whatever we got, and we sit there, hit the mic, and we get not too really time to go sleepy. You know, we've been watching, you know, I'm a big William H. Macy fan. I always loved him going back to, first thing I remembered him in was Fargo, but I'm sure he was in stuff before Fargo. I think Fargo was breakthrough for him, if I recall correctly. And he was in ER. He was a regular on ER for a couple few seasons in there, and I went through that, like, 6 months ago, I think I went through ER, or most of the ER, all of them, actually, not even most of them. But he's on a, and I wasn't aware of it until recently. He's been on a Showtime series called Shameless, which is basically about a family that lives in south side of Chicago, Irish family that lives in the south side of Chicago, and he's outrageously good in it. I mean, it's just really funny. It's really like white ghetto funny, and I've enjoyed it a lot. So we've been watching those. We've been staying up and like knocking those out, and there's like 8 seasons of that. So there's like 80 of them, and I think it's starting up pretty soon again. It's going to be like the last season, I think 9th and last season. So that's been fun. So when we're binging stuff like that, we're like, oh, you know, one more, and then you wind up up, and then you wind up awake. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we're going to sleep and my aunt is waking up. So it's like, you know, it's not bothering. I mean, I'm not really compelled to be on anybody's schedule other than, you know, the producer's work schedule, of course, and medical appointments, you know what I mean? I'm not compelled. I mean, I've said this many times. It's like one of, if not the only upside to being, you know, me. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Me. So, and that's that, really. There's just nothing going on. Everybody's like, I really am looking forward to getting back to see my counselor again. Like I said, I went that month, I think a whole month without seeing her, and I saw her 2 weeks ago, and now I'm back on a regular schedule. As a matter of fact, that's the major advice. I got a call from my lawyer, my representation for my SSI case. And they're like, yeah, you should, you know, definitely make sure you continue treatment. You know, that's a real, real big part of this. And I'm like, you know, what the, no shit, man, you know. And I got the, let's see. So they turned me down, right? I was denied. And then as soon as you get a lawyer, they review the case. So they reviewed the case and they turned me down again. But this really didn't have a whole lot with my lawyer to do with it other than presenting them with some information and whatnot. It wasn't a big deal. So now we're waiting for the hearing in front of the judge, you know. So they're saying, and this was really shocking to me, it's like it could be like 8 to 10 months. And I'm like, yeah, but how many people in Rhode Island could be applying at one time? And then I think about it, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe. So that's where that's at. I'm still waiting to hear back on that. And we'll present the best case that, you know, that we can. I'm fully documented medically. I mean, you know, you people listen to me. Just, you know, obviously I'm not quite right in the head. I should be able to have, like, character witnesses come in, you know what I mean? Yeah, see if I can find my ex-wife. That's what's going on. I got a set to, or I got one song to get out of here with, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of here, and I'll be back next week. Same place is for now. Nothing's changed. I'm back home on the home server, and of course on the 11L R&I streams hosted off of John Lightning's server. Speaking of John Lightning, you can go to lfmidwood.com, and you can hit the 11L R&I link, and you will be taken to John Lightning's homepage. Where his latest archives are available, as well as links to Dave the Boogeyman stuff, and I think the Big Steve Colin Memoriam, and my stuff as well. And you could, of course, come to LF Midwood and stay at lfmidwood.com, and there you find my audio archives, and you find my social media, and let's see, you'll find a contact where basically you can get in touch with me. If you have an AOL address, please use that, okay? If you have a real adult address, please, you can use lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. And that's really all that's going on. That was my week in a nutshell. That's what I changed it to, LF in a nutshell. I was considering changing the name of the show, but I'm not going to do that. Anyway, let me hit this. I don't understand. It's like an airplane thing. Okay, this is a different button. See, I'm going to have to. That's why I'm going to get that little remote thing running, and then I'm going to be able to do that, and it's all going to be lit up, and it's cool. I'm actually going to take pictures of it and how it works in a basic kind of thing, and I'm going to put it up on somewhere. I don't know. Some of my social media. You'll be compelled to go to my social media for a change. Probably not, right? Why am I making that noise? All right, I'll move it that way. Anyway, I'm going to start the end. It's already loaded for a change, which is nice, right? Because I'm always like, oh, I have to load it. No, it's already loaded. I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to get out of here. Thanks for imbibing, and hopefully you'll be seeing me soon.
Say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. Well, they tell them I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. Just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on the merry-go-round. I just had to let it go. Lost in confusion. Well, I tell them there's no problem, only solutions. They shake their heads.
lights, they look at me as if I've lost my mind. I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. To let it go. I just had to let it go. I just had to let it go.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.